The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Now, I was not stunned by Britain leaving the European Union, because we have been proclaiming for some 70 years that it would leave. That it would leave, and how could we possibly know that? That's something to ponder.
That's a clip from my father's Key of David program last summer, July 7th, I think it played over the air. He recorded it on June 29th, just a few days after the historic Brexit vote on Thursday, June 23rd, 2016. Yesterday, divorce proceedings between Britain and the EU officially began. Prime Minister May, I think she signed the six-page letter to the EU on Tuesday. This letter that triggers Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty, which allows a member to leave the European Union. And then, as was covered quite a lot in the news, at least here in the UK yesterday, it probably got a passing reference in the coverage in the United States. But we need to pause on this and to consider it, to ponder it, as my father said in that program, because of the significance, prophetically, the coverage yesterday of this British ambassador to the EU delivering that six-page letter to EU Council President Donald Tusk. As I say, it was all over the news here in the UK yesterday. Here's what Prime Minister Theresa May had to say, clip two.
The Article 50 process is now underway, and in accordance with the wishes of the British people, the United Kingdom is leaving the European Union. This is an historic moment from which there can be no turning back.
No turning back. This is historic. This is significant. Now, Britain, of course, is still bitterly divided on this decision. What was the percentage? I think 52% in favor of leaving and 48% that wanted to stay. But those on the side of Brexit, they certainly are excited. They think this is going to make everything better for Britain. This is what Nigel Farage, he's in UKIP, this is what he had to say yesterday, clip three.
Over the moon. Happy. I mean, today, for me, after 25 years of campaigning, the impossible dream came true. I'm very pleased.
25 years of campaigning, and finally, it's happening. Finally, this Britain's 44-year marriage with the EU is now officially coming to an end. And there is excitement and optimism on the side of those favoring Brexit. Boris Johnson said just today in the Telegraph, "We have a Churchillian vision of a strong and united EU buttressed by a strong UK." A Churchillian vision of a strong, united EU, a German-dominated EU. I think Churchill would be sounding the alarm. He'd probably be saying something very similar to what Lord Heseltine said last week about how that if we leave this, then it just basically hands it over to Germany. And you've got Germany winning World War II in 2017, to paraphrase that headline that we brought to you just the other day, the National Interest, I think it was. In any event, lots of optimism, lots of excitement on the side of those in favor of leaving the EU. Now, of course, It's something we've been saying would happen all along because of what your Bible prophesies. And I'll come to that here in just a second. Let me just go back to, again, a summarization of the events from yesterday. This is from the BBC last night, clip one.
A hand-delivered six-page letter. With that, Theresa May has made history. She's written to the President of the European Council, formally announcing Britain's intention to leave the EU, a process that will see the end of four decades of membership that have shaped so much in our daily lives. The Prime Minister said Britain would be able to make its own decisions, but continue to have a deep and special relationship with the EU. For the European Union, the President of the Council said this was not a happy day for either Brussels or London. But he added, his goal now was to defend the interests of the remaining 27 members of the EU.
And so the clock now is ticking. And the EU and Britain have 2 years to conclude these negotiations on Britain's exit from the Union. There's an EU summit coming up at the end of the month of April, when the remaining 27 countries are expected to debate on these proposals regarding Brexit. But as the BBC reported last night, a lot of the bigger decisions are probably going to be held off until after the French and German elections in May and September of this year. I mean, there's just so many momentous events. You think last year was significant from a prophetic standpoint. You have the elections in France. You have the elections in Germany in September. You have all of these ongoing negotiations now for Brexit. They're supposed to conclude in October of next year, giving the EU Parliament and the British Parliament time to vote on the final deal. And then by this time, 2 years from now, the end of March 2019, it's over. It's completely over. The relationship is completely severed. The divorce will be final after 44 years of marriage. Going back to that statement my father made just last summer following the Brexit vote, he said that this is not something that caught us by surprise, not at all. How could we know? How could we know for some 70 years that Britain would end up leaving the European Union? Well, because it's prophesied on that same program my father went through. Some of the statements that Herbert Armstrong had made as far back as 1956. Statements about Britain leaving the European Union. I mean, he made this following statement in 1956. And I mean, the marriage started in 1973. And so here was Herbert Armstrong saying in 1956, before the marriage, that when they're married, it's going to end in divorce. Here's my father in that same Key of David program from last summer, clip 10.
Let me read to you what Herbert Armstrong wrote in 1956. This is 1956. Here is what he said. The stage is all set. All that's lacking now is a strong leader. The Germans are coming back from the destruction of World War II in breathtaking manner. Germany is the economic and military heart of Europe. Probably Germany will lead and dominate the coming United States of Europe. But Britain will be no part of it. Now, he said that in 1956. That's 60 years ago. How could he know? How could he possibly know that that was going to happen? Well, because it's prophesied in your Bible.
It's all prophesied in your Bible. And as I say, I mean, it's hard to believe that he made that statement really before there was even a European Union. And today, look at what we see. That same program my father referred to, well, he mentioned the quote there that I just played for you from 1956. And as he brought out in that Key of David broadcast, I mean, this was something Herbert Armstrong was saying right up until the last year of his life. I mean, by the time of his death, 1985, early 1986, Britain, of course, was in the European Economic Community. It had started its marriage with the European Union, or what would become the European Union, in 1973. Mr. Armstrong had said long before that it wouldn't work out. And then in 1985, in his final book, Mystery of the Ages, he made the same point. My father draws attention to that in that same Key of David program from last summer. This is clip 12.
He said, "It is speaking of the one who will be the ruler of the soon coming, resurrected, holy Roman Empire, that is the leader, a sort of soon coming United States of Europe, a union of 10 nations to rise out of or following the common market of today. Britain will not be in that empire soon to come. Britain will not be in it." He said that again, and this time in 1985, just 1 year before he died. He just kept saying this over and over and over, and all of this has been fulfilled. More than just about Britain not being in that combine.
The prophecy is about the combine itself, of course. I mean, that's being fulfilled too. That's what it's based on, these 10 kings that are to form in Europe. Revelation 17:12, and of course Daniel 2 with the 10 toes. And the fact that the descendants of biblical Ephraim and Manasseh are to be the target of this beast power emerging out of Europe. And so, as Mr. Armstrong said, of course, Ephraim's not going to be in that power. They're going to be attacked by that power. And same with the United States. So many of these prophecies, I mean, they're all connected. He said it right up until the day he died, or right up until the last year of his life. Herbert Armstrong did. That quote was from 1985, Mystery of the Ages. And the trumpet. The trumpet has come along since Mr. Armstrong's death and has consistently proclaimed the same message. We've been saying for so many years that Britain would not be part of that final European Union. My father said as much back in 2012 at thetrumpet.com. That's just one of many, actually. One final snippet here from that Key of David broadcast in July of last year, last summer. This is clip 11.
And Mr. Armstrong wrote, "Britain is going to look back on Monday, January the 1st, 1973. That's when they officially became a part of it. In all probability, as a most tragically historic date, a date fraught with ominous potentialities. For that date marked the United Kingdom's entry into the European community."
That's a pretty astounding quote, too. The beginning, January 1st, 1973, Britain's entry into the European community, and Herbert Armstrong saying that in all probability it's going to look back on that historic date, January 1st, 1973, as being fraught with ominous potentialities. I mean, they shouldn't have got in the first place. That's what he was saying. And they'd come to see the error of their ways. And now the divorce proceedings have begun. 2 years on from yesterday, and it's all over. Going back to that 1973 quote, the plain truth said, "Britain will be faced with a dilemma." That dilemma, as the plain truth said, it would revolve around the role of a fundamentally Protestant nation in a Catholic-dominated, imperialistic United States of Europe. It wouldn't work out, and there's no way you can blend the two together. And so the plain truth said, you know, Britain was going to have to face a choice. Either abandon its own historical roots, or else abandon Europe. And as Mr. Armstrong correctly predicted, Britain would abandon Europe. And so Britain's marriage with Europe was prophesied to end in divorce. That's what we've been saying all along. And it's all because of what your Bible says. Well, now the divorce proceedings have started. And so carrying on from these many prophecies we've been drawing attention to over the years, it's important now for us to consider what your Bible has to say about life after Brexit. Okay, so once the divorce is final, then what? What happens? What happens in Europe? What happens to Britain? Is this great for Britain? Is this the beginning of a more substantial and prosperous role Britain plays in the world today? What does it mean for Europe? What does it mean for the United States? What kind of impact will Brexit have on the United States? Well, first here, I think we can, again, just look at the way Europe is reacting. It's just like with the election of Donald Trump last year. I mean, it just gives Europe, the leaders in Europe, a reason to despise Britain. Just as Donald Trump gives them a reason to despise the United States. Listen to how the BBC reported this last night. This is clip 4.
This isn't just an historic day for the UK. For the EU, it is a momentous, never-to-be-forgotten kick in the teeth.
Visibly unhappy, this was the recipient of Britain's letter starting the Brexit process.
So, here it is. 6 pages.
Donald Tusk, the man who represents all EU member states here in Brussels.
There is nothing to win in this process, and I'm talking about both sides. This is about damage control.
That's Donald Tusk. That's him saying what many believe that everyone thinks in Brussels, as we'll read here in just a second. From an article at thetrumpet.com from years ago, we basically said this is how Europe would respond to Britain's exit. When Britain's exit happens, here's how Europe's going to respond. But the truth of it is, particularly in Germany, there are a lot of leaders in Europe who welcome this, who've waited for this, who've wanted this. But even with the public pronouncements, you can see, again, this underlying contempt for Britain's course of action. This, again, is what President Donald Tusk had to say yesterday. This is clip 5.
Brexit has made us, the community of 27, more determined and more united than before.
More determined and more united than before. This is the moment to unite. That's what Jean-Claude Juncker said yesterday as well, just hours after the process was triggered. This is the moment to unite. I mean, they know. It's as if they're saying, we know it's a mixture of iron and clay. And so now we've got one of the biggest members, one of the most powerful members, who stood in the way of a united military, who stood in the way of closer union. And now they're out. And so here you have these leaders calling on the European Union to draw closer together. We're more determined than ever. Fox News, together with Associated Press, it reported yesterday, Theresa May said Britain's aim was to reach a deal on divorce terms and a new relationship within the 2 years, something EU officials say is unlikely. Already, you see, they're pushing back. All of this, all of these promises that you would expect politicians to make. Miss May, by the way, was interviewed on BBC last night at 7 p.m. Andrew Neil was asking her about some of the specific. In some ways, it was kind of a frustrating interview as they just got caught in all of these details about trade and, well, what kind of financial package is here or there. I mean, it didn't really cover enough of the big picture. The real significance of this breakaway in any event. I mean, she was on there talking about how great this is going to be and they're going to get everything that they want for the most part. But Europe is there saying, not so fast. Fox says, Brexit Secretary David Davis, the man charged with leading Britain's side in the talks, has called this the most complicated negotiation in modern times, maybe the most complicated negotiation of all time. That's what they're facing as the United Kingdom tries to remove itself, tries to disentangle itself from this union that it's been in for 44 years. Financial Times, it had this to say, here again, just talking about the impact that this could have on Europe, getting Britain out of the way finally. Now is the time to have a real government in Europe. That's quoting Guy Verhofstadt, the European Parliament's chief negotiator on Brexit. So again, there, you know, you would expect the public pronouncements of being, well, this is a sad day, it's bad for Brussels, it's bad for London. And yet at the same time, there's leaders also saying this is the time for us to establish a real government. This is a time for us to really come together in a show of unity and force. He called on the bloc, Verhofstadt, to establish a political and defense union and broaden its single market. Fox says here, or sorry, this is Financial Times, it says, for decades, similarly minded Federalists have decried British resistance to closer military integration under EU auspices. Paris and Berlin are already making plans to push forward EU defense coordination as soon as the UK leaves. See, Britain's been resisting against this closer military integration. And now the EU is pushing forward with defense coordination. Britain's on the way out. Hey, the divorce proceedings have begun. It's now official. There's no turning back, just like the Prime Minister said yesterday. This is a historic moment from which there can be no turning back. Speaking of this defense coordination, the Financial Times says here, European member states took steps in March to establish a Brussels command for defense training missions, but Britain blocked the creation of a military headquarters to oversee troops deploying lethal force on EU missions. Once Britain leaves the EU, the initiative is likely to move forward by giving the command executive powers to arm and direct common military missions. See, they're not going to state it publicly, but as I say, there's a lot of leaders in Europe that are applauding this. They've been waiting for this for years. When we come back, I mean, I just read this to you from the Financial Times, but I want to go through something that we wrote at thetrumpet.com. This is now 10 years old, this article, What Will Happen in Europe When Britain Leaves? We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Is prophecy real? Is it anything more than a collection of imaginations, vagaries, and wishful thinking? The answer is no. Human beings have never dreamed up an authentic prediction of the future. The human mind simply isn't capable of it. Such a feat would require godlike power.
What about Bible prophecy? Is Bible prophecy real? Is it different than the litany of other failed prophecies that have been discarded throughout human history? Unlike other books, particularly those books that claim to predict the future, the Bible has endured for thousands of years. Something about this book has transcended thousands of generations of human history. And this book, the Holy Bible, claims to predict the future. It claims its prophecies come not from the minds of human beings, but from the mind of their Creator, from the mind of God. Prove the Bible's prophecies for yourself. If you cannot honestly prove them to be true, discard the Bible and move on with your life. But if you can, what a spectacular book the Bible becomes. Request Herbert W. Armstrong's free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. This book will examine the core Bible prophecies and compare them to history and current events. More than 6 million people have requested this amazing and easy-to-read book. Order The United States and Britain in Prophecy by Herbert W. Armstrong and prove Bible prophecy for yourself. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
The Article 50 process is now underway, and in accordance with the wishes of the British people, the United Kingdom is leaving the European Union. Yeah. This is an historic moment from which there can be no turning back.
No turning back. We're witnessing a historic moment. And it's all prophesied, as I said in that first segment. It's a consistent message you've been hearing from God's work. I gave you the quote from Herbert Armstrong from 1956. What he said in 1985. What we've been saying since the start of the Trumpet magazine in 1990. Consider this title. This is from 2007. What will happen in Europe when Britain leaves? That's 10 years ago. That's the Trumpet telling you what would happen. That's the Trumpet telling you, well, for one, Britain's going to leave. Okay, we've established that. But what will happen? How will that impact Europe? This is Brad McDonald writing, saying it should be, or rather it could be, one of the most momentous watershed events ever to occur on the European continent. And you hear people yesterday talking about how historic this is. You hear someone talking about the negotiations between Britain and the European Union and how that this could be some of the more difficult negotiations in history. In history. Well, here is the Trumpet magazine. What will happen in Europe when Britain leaves? Brad McDonald writes, the time is drawing near when Britain will leave the European Union. How will this development affect life on the continent? We're getting close, we said. This is, 8, 9 years before Brexit? Before the vote, even. We're getting close. And the question is, how is it going to impact the continent? Well, he makes some of the same points here that I touched on in the first segment. It says, over the years, Britain has been the biggest hindrance to the unification project proceeding forward. Where France and Germany had ambitious designs for European unity, Britain viewed it as a take-it-or-leave-it economic venture. This fundamental difference, coupled with Britain's sheer size and political influence, has made London the resident counterweight to Franco-German ambition. And again, this is a point we've been making. It was the counterweight to this German ambition. And now it's out, or it's on the way out. It says, in this role, Britain has found itself the ally of European nations worried by Franco-German ambition for Europe's smaller, less influential states. Britain has been both a megaphone for their anxiety and the key ally, preventing them from being steamrolled by France and Germany. It says here, a little further on, it says, the withdrawal of Britain from the European Union will dramatically upset this balance of power. So that's what we're seeing now. Britain's on the way out, and the balance of power is being dramatically shaken. With this millstone cut loose, Brad McDonald writes, expect European integration to move rapidly forward. And so what will happen when Europe leaves, or rather when Britain leaves? Well, expect European integration to move rapidly forward. It says clearly Germany stands to gain the most from Britain's exit. It is best positioned to fill the resulting colossal power vacuum. It says it's already the economic hub and political nucleus of the Union. A British withdrawal will consolidate and augment Berlin's role as the vanguard of this political bloc. And so Germany stands to receive the most benefits from this. This is what the trumpet was saying 10 years ago. And notice this point. This is interesting with respect to the kinds of reaction that we were getting yesterday. As Britain edges closer to leaving the EU, political pragmatism by German leaders will likely cause them to refrain from expressing too much joy too quickly. Pro-integration leaders will likely express regret over Britain's withdrawal, claiming Britain was an important and much-needed member of the Union. But don't let the rhetoric trick you. Don't let the rhetoric trick you. The reality is that Germany, together with every other European nation eager to get on with unification, will be thrilled to drop the weighty millstone. Rather than spell doom of European unification, it says a British withdrawal will likely spawn a pro-unification renaissance, at least among some EU states. That's what it's going to spawn, a pro-unification renaissance. Now, what were some of those statements being made yesterday? This is the time to unify. This is the time for us to come together. This is the time for us to build up a common military force. And that's what we were predicting back in 2007. Don't let the statements about, well, we want to all stay together, don't let those statements fool you. Brad McDonald went on to point out how that there's the other less powerful governments in the European Union. They're not going to be thrilled with Britain leaving because it just gives Germany more power. And so you can imagine some turmoil in the short run as Britain's on the way out. And of course, there's some pretty prominent voices in the world that are calling for other nations to leave as well. And with Britain now out, I mean, those smaller, less powerful nations, they don't have the megaphone, as Brad McDonald brings out. They don't have Britain slowing things down as far as military unification and things of that nature are concerned. He says, if a British withdrawal precipitates the secession of a few other states, the EU could quickly be pared down to a core group of pro-unification nations that are willing to fall under German leadership. So we're talking today, now that the divorce proceedings have started, we're talking today about what comes next. What happens next in Europe? What's next for Britain? What's next for the United States? Well, if you want to know, go back and read. We'll post it at thetrumpet.com today. Brad McDonald's piece, What Will Happen in Europe When Britain Leaves? When we come back, we'll just take a short break here. When we come back, we'll look at some of the things that are being said with respect to trade and whether or not this arrangement will benefit the UK when it comes to trade. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
As part of the agreement or the deal that they try to work out to carry on with this divorce, there's some in Europe who are saying that Britain's exit bill should amount to about 60 billion euros. And of course, there's quite a few people in Britain that are saying that's ridiculous. And the AFP, it reported just this morning, it says the cliff edge scenario of Britain leaving the European bloc with no deal has alarmed business leaders who have emphasized the need for a transitional arrangement to allow for the divorce deal to be gradually implemented. Some are in the business community are concerned. What if we can't agree on a settlement? What if we don't get a favorable trade deal? What if Europe plays hardball and we have to pay some 60 billion euros to just leave the Union? Well, as I say, there's lots of optimistic voices that are saying this is great and it's going to lead to a lot of new trade deals that really benefit the UK. Andrew Neil last night on BBC, he had an exchange with Prime Minister May about the sort of trade deal that Britain's looking for on the way out of the European Union. This is clip six.
What we're both looking for is that comprehensive free trade agreement, which gives that ability to trade freely into the European single market
and for them
to trade with us. It will be a different relationship, but I think it can have the same benefits in terms of that free access to trade.
A totally different relationship, a divorced one at that. But look, we'll have all the same benefits of the marriage. When we were in the marriage, we'll have all the same trade benefits. And of course, even if it's not with Europe, well, there's other agreements to be made. Like Nigel Farage says, with respect to Britain and the United States. This is what he said in an exchange with a reporter, clip seven.
If the British government went to Trump today and said, right, let's crack on, I think that certainly by the end of this year, if not a considerable time before, that trade deal could be done. But of course the problem is, we're not allowed to, because Mr. Juncker says we can't do it until we've left the European Union. But what we can do, we can begin the initial discussions, and I think the sooner we take the attitude in this country that we're leaving political union with Europe and rejoining the world, the better.
So let me be clear here, Nigel. You think that Mr. Trump would sign a trade deal with the United Kingdom by the end of this calendar year if we started negotiations immediately?
Yes, I really do. And I have every reason to believe that, and the White House are very positive about the Anglo-American relationship in terms of trade, in terms of security, in terms of defence. And I think for many in Washington, they look on with incredulity that a British Prime Minister is told by a Brussels-based bureaucrat we're not allowed to sign a deal.
That's Nigel Farage in an exchange yesterday. Just really excited about Britain leaving Europe to rejoin the world, and how that there's deals to be made with the Trump administration in particular. I mean, we could get something locked down by the end of this year. Freedom. We've got freedom now. That's what they think. Now, my father in Great Again does talk about maybe some short-term gain or benefit to come from this renewed special relationship between the United States and Britain. But looking at it, again, not even that far beyond the immediate short term, you know where this is headed because of what the Bible prophesies. We've been talking so much of late about the prophesied trade war. The Financial Times, that same piece I read from earlier, it says Brexit will bring about the departure of one of the EU's strongest trade advocates at a time when the bloc's commercial policy is already under strain from the general backlash against globalization and Donald Trump's turn away from multilateral deals. This could undermine Europe's capacity to speak with a single voice on trade as Brussels seeks to deepen ties in Asia and South America. That's the Financial Times. I mean, they're already taking the lead. Europe, a German-led Europe, reaching out to Asia, reaching out to China, reaching out to South America, anticipating all of these trade barriers and tariffs put up by the United States. You think they're just itching to give the UK all the benefits, the trade benefits that it seeks? And more important, what does the Bible prophesy? As we've been discussing on this program, you can look at the prophecy yourself in Isaiah 23. God's prophet prophesying of this massive global trade network in our day, in the last days. China's part of it. The German-dominated European Union is part of it. And again, Britain's on the way out of that union. You have other Asian nations as part of it. It's called the Mart of Nations. This great market of nations, or this great trade alliance. Italy's mentioned as being a part of it. The U.S., the United Kingdom, they're not mentioned as being part of it. And so my father has said, this is from his booklet on Isaiah, we believe there may be a brief alliance between the German-led Holy Roman Empire and certain Asian powers, Russia, China, Japan, the kings of the East. These two powers, Europe and Asia, I mean, they're right at the heart of so many end-time prophecies in the lead-up to and during the Great Tribulation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. And as my father has explained, this prophesied Mart of Nations, it's going to besiege the United States and Britain. And so don't let all of the rhetoric fool you. It sounds so good. This is great. We can finally get out of Europe and rejoin the world. The world loves us. I heard one commentator on BBC last night talk about how that, well, we don't have anything to worry about. Britain is as popular in the world today as it's ever been. Really? Is that what we're going to hang our hat on? The fact that, well, for sure, everyone loves us. Everyone needs us. In fact, Isaiah 23 says, we're on the outside looking in. We're going to be left out in the cold. We're going to be frozen out of world trade, as my father writes in the Ezekiel booklet. This Mart of Nations, it's going to besiege the United States and Britain. That's something God prophesies in Deuteronomy, Ezekiel 4 and 5. It's an economic siege brought on by trade wars, and it leads to all kinds of rioting and mass civil unrest all across the United States and Britain. My father writes in the Ezekiel booklet, the U.S. and other Israelite nations are surrounded or besieged by fierce and often unfair competition. I mean, it is true that it's unfair, so much of it. But still, what does the Bible prophesy? That's the thing. As the U.S. and Britain become less and less competitive worldwide, unemployment will steadily increase. The United States and Britain are going to be left out in the cold as two gigantic trade blocs, Europe and Asia, mesh together and begin calling the shots in world commerce. These nations of Israel are going to be literally besieged, economically frozen out of world trade. We're in the early stages of that trade war. That trade war that precedes the siege. I mean, the siege is right at the door. You take Britain out of the EU, and you can see where so many of these prophecies are just going to accelerate. That's what Brad McDonald was saying in that piece from 2007, and it's what my father said in that Key of David program from last summer. Let me just play one more clip from that program. This is clip 9.
If you go back to the, let's say, the beginning of the European Union, and when they had the Maastricht Treaty and that, the Germans, even then, were demanding and did demand that they would not ratify that treaty unless the central bank were to be in Germany. Now they've been making demands ever since and getting most of them fulfilled. This is a nation that started both world wars, and in the beginning people were saying, well, yeah, what we have to do is get all these nations together and make sure that we anchor Germany to the European Union. But Margaret Thatcher said, why, it's just the reverse of that. She said, you've anchored the European Union to a newly dominant Germany. And dominant they have been. And they're going to be a lot more dominant from now on. And you can quickly see that. Now that Britain's out, that makes their path a lot easier. And you're going to see 10 nations come out of that European Union very quickly. Germany is absolutely dominating the European Union economically, financially, and politically.
It's just astounding, really, that there's... I mean, where else do you hear that warning? Where else do you hear this? Well, is this really good? Is it good for Europe? Is it good for Britain? Is it good for the United States? Is it good for the world? You remove the counterweight? You remove the last line of resistance against a remilitarized Germany heading up the continent? And there's nothing to be concerned about there? This is going to accelerate the prophecy of those 10 kings coming together, and the U.S. and Britain will be on the outside looking in. I thought the USA Today made a really important point in its article on the divorce, what this means for America. It says in the USA Today, the U.S. and Britain have long enjoyed a special relationship because of their historical and cultural ties, but they may become even closer allies once Britain leaves the EU. It says British Prime Minister Theresa May and President Trump have talked about negotiating a new trade deal that benefits both countries. In addition, Britain, a key U.S. military partner, may be eager to team up with American forces to deal with conflict zones once it's free of the EU, which generally tilts toward a non-intervention stance in foreign affairs. Well, that's the way it's been in that post-World War II period. But that's rapidly changing. That's dramatically changing. And so, okay, it brings the U.S. and Britain closer together for a time. But notice this. This is the USA Today. As an EU member, Britain provides valuable information to American intelligence agencies about the inner workings of the alliance, a benefit that would be lost once the UK leaves the EU. It says, the British are our window into the European Union, said retired General Wesley Clark, former NATO commander. Moreover, the EU would lose Britain's strong voice for international security actions favored by the U.S., such as sanctions on Russia for its military intervention in neighboring Ukraine. I mean, you have nothing left to prevent the dominant Germany from coming forward. And furthermore, the United States loses its lone window into the EU. These two allies, the United States and Britain. What happens when the United States and Britain are on the outside looking in and they no longer have this valuable information about the inner workings of the European alliance? It's pretty amazing to think about how dramatic and how fast the changes are going to come now. We've got to again stay grounded in the prophecies of God. There's so many of them with respect to Ephraim in the book of Hosea, and not just the book of Hosea, but so many prophecies. The United States and Britain in prophecy, of course, lays it all out there for you. What is prophesied for our nations, the United States and Britain? Read the last four or five chapters of that book sometime. And see what God prophesies. Hosea 2 talks about all this power and wealth that we've accumulated, these tremendous blessings. The great British Empire, ruling the world for the most part during the 1800s, and then the smooth transition of power from the British Empire over to the United States, the single greatest superpower in history. Just dominated the world for some two centuries. And yet, like that prophecy in Hosea 2 says, we didn't thank God. We didn't give God credit for giving us all the corn and the wine and the oil and the silver and the gold. God says about our peoples, about our nations, that there's no truth in the land. There's no knowledge of God. There's just lying and killing and stealing and adultery, as it says in Hosea 4. And the prophet goes on to say that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We've rejected God's knowledge. We've rejected God's truth. And it says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Those are prophecies taken out from Hosea chapter 4. Let me just conclude here by going back to that 2007 piece by Brad McDonald, where here we were at thetrumpet.com writing 10 years ago about what would happen once Britain left the EU. We knew it would happen. Like my father said on the Key of David last summer, there was nothing about Brexit or the negotiations that have followed. There's nothing about it that's surprising. We weren't stunned by it. We've been proclaiming for some 70 years that they would leave. How do we know? Well, that's something to ponder, as he said. That 2007 piece at thetrumpet.com. It says, over the next few months and years, we must watch Britain closely. The day is quickly approaching when it will no longer be a member of the European Union. When this occurs, a political and strategic volcano will shake the continent. The political chaos may be so bad that unification will seem utterly impossible. I mean, there may be chaos in the short run. Unification may seem utterly impossible. He writes, however, this crisis will be short-lived, with a massive power vacuum needing to be filled and the continent's balance of power entirely upended. Germany will assume absolute leadership over the continent. You see, winning World War II in 2017. Brad McDonald says, then, without Britain to counter German ambition, the entire strategic and political landscape of Europe will be redrawn by Berlin's pen. Finally, it says here, this is at the Trumpet, thetrumpet.com, October 2nd, 2007. What will happen in Europe when Britain leaves? Look it up. Look it up at thetrumpet.com and see if it isn't happening or if it isn't yet. Just know what will happen soon. It says the withdrawal of Britain will be such a momentous, destabilizing event for Europe that most analysts will probably decry the end of the European unification project. Indeed, there may be a period of confusion and chaos, but ultimately, rather than hinder the integration of Europe, the final cutting loose of Britain as a millstone could be a major event needed to thrust Europe forward as a smaller, more streamlined, more focused, and tightly knit superpower. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program with your comments or feedback, just send your messages to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.